more and more in the beginning of February, the term corona and coronavirus appeared. And we thought that this might be an interesting starting point for actually developing an automated and algorithmic measurement of how much businesses in the US, and then also extrapolating from this, certain industries and industry groups perceive their business risks related to COVID-19, to the coronavirus and the pandemic and all the economic consequences that come and came along with it.
Hello and welcome to Exploring Digital Spheres. In today's special episode, we welcome Dr. Fabian Stefani and Dr. Fabian Bresemann. Both of our guests work as social data scientists at the University of Oxford. Together with their colleagues in Oxford and Berlin, Fabian and Fabian have developed the Co-Risk Index, an economic indicator for industry-specific risk assessment related to COVID-19. A highly relevant issue in these times of crisis. So let's just jump directly into our conversation. Today's topic, the Co-Risk Index, the first real-time measure of industry risk assessment associated to COVID-19. My guests today, Fabian Stefani and Fabian Bresemann. Please be so kind and introduce yourself quickly.
Thanks a lot for this opportunity. My name is Fabian Stefani. I'm a data scientist, computational social scientist at the Oxford Internet Institute at the University of Oxford.
Yeah, hello. And my name is equally Fabian Bresemann. I'm a social data scientist at the University of Oxford, at the Side Business School, and research associate at the Oxford Internet Institute.
Tell us, how did you come to create such an index? What was the idea, motivation, but also maybe your professional background and expertise?
Yeah, maybe to the direct background of this whole index. So in last winter, we started a collaboration with a couple of researchers and students in Berlin. And the first idea we had was to organize a hackathon, a datathon for social data scientists. So not like a typical Kaggle competition, where computer scientists and others interested in data science work on a, let's say, corporational predictive model or anything like this, but rather applying data science skills for the public good, for a social science question. So we were just meant to meet with the organizational committee in March here in Berlin. And this was one of the reasons why we actually came to Berlin in March. And this was in that week when all the lockdown and everything happened. So we were basically then stuck with a kind of good idea that already had some traction and had to realize that this event could not happen. So the other members of this organization committee, which is students from Oxford and Berlin, so we thought that we should come up with a research question that better speaks to our expertise, so something around economics. And I think this is where Fabian could now explain how we then eventually came up with the research idea. We eventually went further.
Yeah. I mean, during my during a previous engagement job, I had been working with the documents that I essentially building up this index, this Co-Risk Index. That's the way we called it. And looking at these documents, which are filings that companies have to deliver to the authorities in the United States, to the Securities and Exchange Commission, I realized that beginning in February, the term corona and coronavirus appeared in these statements. So essentially, these statements are meant to be a cautious remark. I'm meant to inform the authorities in the United States about the risks that companies, that businesses in the US are facing. And the interesting thing about these statements are that the companies can't just write what they want, so they have to be pretty precise. They shouldn't overemphasize risks, because then the investors and people on the market would get scared. But they can't also they shouldn't hide risks in these statements, because otherwise, if the economy goes belly up, they could have been they can be held accountable for this, basically. And so these statements are pretty interesting for researchers looking at the risks that companies are facing, as these companies have to be pretty accurate and precise in describing the risks. And in these statements, more and more in the beginning of February, the term corona and coronavirus appeared. And we thought that this might be an interesting starting point for actually developing an automated and algorithmic measurement of how much businesses in the US, and then also extrapolated from this, certain industries and industry groups perceive their business risks related to COVID-19, to the coronavirus and the pandemic and all the economic consequences that come and came along with it.
To say one more word about how this whole index came into place. So we were to combine our motivation and interest in data science with Fabian's recent experiences working with this data set. But it was not that it was a completely planned and well-organized project right at the beginning. So we had this idea, we wanted to do something with it. So we had the hammer. Now with the corona crisis, as Fabian just described, we had the nail. Yeah. We wanted to hit it, but maybe we were not, let's say, not a squad of not some kind of special unit trained in producing research in no time. But in any case, we wanted to do something. So we worked really hard. We had kind of two calls a day, so one at 11 in the morning and one in the afternoon at 4 or 5. And we were surprised how fast this whole process actually could go and how quickly we could get results. And we had our first discussion on a Friday evening, so we started on Saturday, the 21st, and by the 27th, the paper was already there. But if you guys have a look online, all the versions are published on the archive. Currently, the version online is version 1.3, so the third version. If you look at the first version, it looks very different, to say the least. And this was due to this kind of unplanned nature. And this, I'm just saying this because I think this is the reality of all data science projects. They seldomly start with a well-cut, thought-through theoretical models.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it was pretty messy, but we were strongly motivated by our anger towards COVID, because this whole situation had taken away our precious datathon that we planned, and so we needed to find a way to fight back in some way. Yeah, and as Fabian said, as social scientists, we thought this might be our most valuable contribution actually to do something in this very extreme and turbulent times.
Sounds like a pretty professional unit to me. So, well done.
Oh, there were so many discussions that were maybe not just all kind of confident and professional. So at some point in the middle of the first week, when we were all kind of overworked, I think none of us was believing that this is so professional.
Yeah, but I guess you're right. That's pretty much the reality of data science teams and data science challenges these days, yeah.
But at the same time, if I may say, this was also the fun part, right? I think I can speak for all six of us. It was the most kind of teamwork-like project we ever worked on, because as everyone in academia knows, oftentimes you sit in the library alone, whether you do data analysis, whether you do literature review, whatever, seldomly you work intensively with others.
Yes.
This was actually also the motivation, and I think why the six of us could motivate us for this kind of, let's call it sprint rather than a marathon. Yeah. Now it turned into a marathon, unfortunately, but this is also reality. But sorry, yeah.
Also something positive out of that crisis.
Yeah.
Okay, but now I'm, of course, very curious. What are your findings from all that constantly collected and analyzed data?
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially the index, the idea of measuring risks, business risks, is not entirely new. I mean, there are business climate and business barometer indices out there. But I think one strong advantage of our project is that, first of all, it relates, it looks at risks that are related exclusively to COVID-19 and to the economic consequences of the coronavirus, outbreak. And, in addition to that, it's very agile. So it's constantly updated. It acquires data on a weekly basis. Essentially, I think the work the insights that we gained so far, and I have to say that they are constantly updated. Of course, this is still ongoing research, but they could be summarized in mainly three takeaways. So one would be it's not one size that fits all. So we do see from early on clear differences in terms of risk awareness, corona-related risk awareness of different industries. So while, for example, retail and manufacturing had started to report from early on in early February and quite steeply increasing in terms of the risks that they report that they associate to corona, service sectors like administration or financial services, they started to rise in our index. These industries started to rise, or the values of these industries started to rise at a later stage. So with a certain lag, and also not with the same magnitude as retail and manufacturing industries, for example, did and still do. Secondly, I would say our data. So when we look at different topics, so the different topics that are associated to these risks related to COVID-19 that businesses report, it's the the crisis unfolding can be really neatly traced actually with the data that we gathered. So we have, for example, an illustration of a heat map that shows the different topics, so supply, demand, finance and travel, for example, and the different industries. And so it shows how which topics became more and more relevant in relationship to COVID. Four different industries, and we see that at the very beginning, mainly industries were talking about travel. They were talking about travel restrictions, the impairments that were related to people not being able to travel anymore. And then if we move along from early February to mid-February and end of March, we see that the issue of supply became more and more dominant. In particularly for manufacturing firms, for example, so supply chains obviously started to break down, global supply chains, and again, then if we move further on from mid March to the end of March and also beginning of April, the topic that becomes really really dominant is now demand, and particularly for retail. So stores started to close down, and retailers been getting into severe difficulties, basically selling their products on the market.
If I understand that correctly, the index could be something like an early indicator. Could one go so far and say it can forecast the future?
We are pretty confident from our preliminary findings that we have seen so far that this could be the case. Then we hope that we can track this index over the whole course of the crisis. So it started with zero when there was no coronavirus-related issues reported. This was basically in January. Then 30th of January, the first firm in the US reported, which was Levi Strauss, the jeans and clothing manufacturer. And we will track it over the whole course until it will reach zero again. And over time, we assume that the differences between the industries will become more pronounced. Yeah. Currently, of course, there is a huge trend in the index. It goes up for all industries, but you see differences already, as Fabian just explained them. But over time, when this crisis basically radiates and transits through the complete economy, we assume that it will be some industries already recovering while others are still suffering. So this is why, and basically this is why we want to do it over time, why we want to track it over time, because we assume that first, of course, the worst is not over, and secondly, the most interesting findings have not yet evolved. Even over the course of the past 4 weeks, we see huge differences, particularly these topic-related issues Fabian has just explained. They only became apparent now that this whole index moved from supply-focused to demand-focused.
Your work focuses on the US market. Surely many people will be interested to make a similar model for other regions. How would that work? And would that work?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, that's absolutely possible. I mean, the algorithm, the infrastructure that we constructed is by no means restricted to the US alone. But of course, the documents that it's fed with that I mentioned initially are documents that are reported to the US Securities and Exchange Commission alone. I mean, this leads back to the idea who might be the main user or the main profiter from our work. And we think right now that we do already know that colleagues working in macroeconomics, macroeconomic forecasting or modeling of economic shocks are interested in our work. We just had 2 days ago, we had a talk with colleagues in Oxford who are doing research there. And we believe that also in the future, macroeconomists and people doing economic forecasting might be able to use our insights and our data for calibrating their models. And of course, we know that they're not only forecasting experts in the US, but also in other regions of the world might be interested in our work. So essentially, if I may, I could use this as an invitation. So whoever has data similar to what we've been analyzing for the US. So basically, similar reports where businesses report a risk and their economic outlook in a relatively structured and honest fashion for other countries. We're happy to get in touch because I mean, as we will share our code together with our insights, we're happy to collaborate with people, of course, from all around the world, and then also potentially extending this index for other regions of the world if possible.
Do these firms in the US have to submit these reports?
Yes, I mean, of course, we're not covering, as Fabian mentioned, we're talking about roughly 3,000 documents now. So broadly speaking, 1,000 documents per month. One can clearly see that that not every company in the US is reporting here. There are certain requirements that have to be fulfilled. So, and this also leads back to our robustness checks. Of course, not every company is reporting. We're not measuring the risk expectations of the local grocery store around the corner. So companies need to have a certain size. There are certain capital requirements that need to be fulfilled in order for them to have the obligation to report these statements. But we are currently in the process of assessing to what degree these reports are actually representative of the whole US economy. But we've been getting feedback from colleagues who have been working with these reports in the past at Notre Dame University, and they indicate that broadly speaking, in terms of industries at least, the reports are representative of the US economy. But of course, we have to get closer. We have to get hold of how many employees, for example, we're talking about in this case for the specific industries. That's something we're currently working on.
Thanks for clarifying.
That was Fabian Stefani and Fabian Bresemann. You can find more on their research in the notes of this episode. For other events and research projects organized by the Alexander von Humboldt Institute for Internet and Society, visit hiig.de. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, please leave us a rating or comment on iTunes to help others find the show. For now, this was Exploring Digital Spheres, hosted by me, Bronwyn Deacon.